at the women's meeting, the youth meeting. It was amazing. It was really amazing. I'm truly blessed to be among you all, and I really thank I think it will be understanding. Okay, perfect. Yeah, so I really thank Pastor Melvin and Anita for opening up the platform for us, and it's been a pleasure working along with them. They've been an amazing blessing to us as well. So I've come here with my family. So that's my wife, Sheva. Dr. Yoma, who was on the piano. Galia, who sang along with us. She also plays the drums. So today evening, she will be playing in the church at Eden. Yeah? And my son, who plays the guitar. Such a joy that together we serve the Lord, it's an honor to see God use them as well. I believe every parent cries to the Lord, and our kids will grow in the fear and the love of God. And I believe that as we pursue God, it will overflow into their lives as well. Amen. Well, today I want to speak on the subject, just a minute. I want to speak on, my title is Clean the House for Open Heavens. Clean the House for Open Heavens. How many of us, we go shopping on the streets and we find sometimes beautiful objects, right? Some good show pieces. Some good designer things that we can hang onto the wall, or maybe put upon our showcase, or maybe wear some ornaments on us. We go into the marketplace, we look at something and we find it so beautiful, we purchase it and keep it for us. But how many of us also know we are living in a world that's filled with idolatry? That world is surrounded with paganism, and how we need to be so sensitive to know what we keep in our house and what we wear on our bodies. There was a woman that came for our meeting a few weeks back, and as we were praying over her, she was in fact paralyzed. She couldn't move her body. As she came to the church, she sat down. We asked people to stand. She couldn't stand. She could not kneel. She couldn't do much activities. And as we were praying, the Lord started working a miracle over her life. She started moving her hands, started moving her feet, but there was other bondages that she was in. And suddenly we realized, one of our team members immediately came to me and said, she's wearing an outfit that is a third eye, that is an evil eye, a designer outfit, that is an evil eye. I was like, is it so? At that very moment, I spoke to her, and she disposed it. The moment she disposed it, she immediately began to speak. There's a change in her business now. God began to bless her financially. God began to open doors which seemed to be shut in her life. In fact, now she's been speaking to me and saying that I'm amazed at how business is coming to me. So there are things that we hold on to unknowingly, that could bind us, our households, and our families. There was one young boy, this was a few years back, there was a young boy who had a boil, a boil over his body, a growth basically over his body. And the parents called us for prayer because they did not want to do any operation, they did not want to go to the doctor, so they called us for prayer. As I entered the house, the first thing the Lord showed me, it was not hanging in the walls, but the Lord showed me a picture of an anchor But there's nothing wrong with an anchor. Is there anything wrong with, you know what's an anchor, right? The anchor that they use for the ships. Yep. So there's nothing wrong with an anchor. In fact, we know that Jesus is the anchor of our faith, right? But in the pagan world, the anchor is a symbol of good luck. And how many of us know we Christians are not lucky, we are blessed. We don't hold on to lucky charms, we are blessed in the Lord. Nothing that we wear brings luck, it's we who abide in God that brings our blessings. So as I entered this house and the Lord showed me this picture, I sat along with the youngster and parents, and I asked them, I'm getting a picture of an anchor in your house. Do you have one? So she said, just a minute. She went into her wardrobe, pulled out a golden anchor made out of gold, pure gold. She brought it out and she showed it to us. I said, get rid of it. Don't keep it in the house. The very next day she went, she sold it off, and to her surprise, the child was completely healed. The boy disappeared, completely disappeared. Now, why did that happen? Well, there are objects that sometimes bind us. And that's why we need to be so careful what we keep with us. There was one house that I visited. The wife was possessed by a demon. There was a spirit that was oppressing the wife. The moment I entered the house, in fact, that woman started reacting, screaming, and beginning to say, get that man out of this place. Get the man out of this place. He's smelling. There's a smell that's coming from him that I cannot stand. At that point of time, I was like, what's the smell that's coming from me? But the Holy Spirit immediately began to speak to me and say that I smell of the blood, the fragrance of Jesus Christ. And the fragrance that I carry would not be tolerable by that spirit. She could not take it. So I entered the house. The moment I entered the house, the Lord told me there's something lying on top of the closet. I asked the husband, just check if there's a black article lying on top of the cupboard. He went, he checked it up, and to his surprise, there was a small black color pouch, a black color pouch that was lying on top. And when he opened it, it was things that were in it were used by witchcraft. The moment he got rid of it and he prayed over his wife, she was completely delivered. So we need to understand that demons operate through objects. And that's why we need to be very careful what we keep in our house. When you open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 25 and 26. Could you put it on the screen, please? Okay, it says that the graven images of their gods shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them. That means not only the gods. Okay, none of us are in idolatry. We've come out of idolatry. But here he's saying it's not only the idols. He said, even the silver and gold that is on them. That means those designer pieces that are on them. Okay, not take it into thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord. So he's saying, for it's not only about idolatry, it's also about the articles that those idols have over them. Now we don't know what designer wares they wear. But yes, they do have gold ornaments. The next verse says, neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thy houses. That means it's not only throwing those idols out, it's not only giving up those idols, not only giving up those ornaments, but you don't even bring them in your house. That means such things should not be in our homes. Then it goes further, lest thou be cursed. Be a cursed thing like it. Lest thou be a cursed thing like it. That means those things are an abomination. Those things are not to be in our houses. And if they are, You do it because like it. And that's why many a times we are praying. It's like our life is in order. We are born again Christians. We are worshiping the Lord. We come on Sunday for church. We read the Bible. But there is some obstacle, some heaviness, some block that we cannot understand why we are seeing or we are not experiencing that breakthrough. Could it be there is something that we are holding on to? There was one woman who was coming for our meeting, and she was not able to conceive for nearly 6 years of their marriage. Could not conceive. One day, as worship was going on, now she has been coming to our church for a long time, and we were like, you will be blessed. God is going to prosper you. God is going to bless your marriage. You are going to be fruitful. We were hopeful. We had faith. But somehow for 5 years, nothing was happening. One day during worship, God spoke a word and said, there is somebody in this place. Now a small thing like this, just imagine this. There's somebody in this place. You've got a doll. We all have dolls, right, as kids? You've got a doll that's lying in your corner of the house. You don't play with it, but it's lying there. Now this woman has grown up. She's maybe in her 30s. And she must have played with dolls when she was 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So nearly 20 years now have passed, but that doll was lying in that house. And the Lord said, you need to dispose it. Get it out of your house. And this woman went back home. This woman's sister, when she went back home, she spoke about this doll story. And then they immediately understood that they have this, for the last 20 years, this particular object was lying in the house. They immediately got rid of it. They got rid of it, and after 3 months, just 3 months later, this woman gets pregnant. 3 months later, God opened the door of their life. Now, why that doll? No, not all dolls are evil. But there is an emotion that's behind that doll. That means there is some connection that you have, something that you're obsessed with, something that you're possessed with. You love it too much that you don't want to part with it. That can be dangerous. Just like Abraham loved Isaac, and God told him, you need to give up Isaac. He had to let go of Isaac. And then we see the moment Abraham was willing to let go, we see God begins to bless him. Yeah. So the same way, certain articles may not be also things that are linked to paganism, but things that control your emotions, things that control you. You know, if somebody touches what's mine, I get upset, right? Mm-hmm. That doll, oh, I love it. I don't want to share it with anyone else. Not anything that you are obsessed with, that you are too possessed with, something that you are emotionally tied to, can actually be something that can bind you. And that's why you need to learn not to be too much in love with the things of the world. Now here we see in Joshua chapter 7, look at Israel. Now God's favor is over this nation. God is blessing this people. They are going out to war and experiencing victory. Now in Joshua chapter 7, when they are moving out to war, from verse 1, you can read verse 1 onwards. It says, but the children of Israel committed trespass in the accursed thing for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. Now here we see, when they take this object, when Achan takes this object that was devoted to destruction, okay? Now if you actually look at the intention of Achan, look at verse, if you can just put verse 20. Could you put verse 20? Joshua chapter 7, verse 20. Yep. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. Now go to the next verse. When I saw among the spoils a goodly, okay, Babylonish garment, okay, a goodly garment that was used for those idols. It was just a garment. Come on, it's just a decoration. Just a t-shirt, just a bed sheet, just some kind of a carpet that you would hang. He says, I saw something very beautiful. Okay, he says, I've seen a very beautiful garment, and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. Then I coveted it. I wanted it. I took it. And then he says, and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent. That means I kept it in my house. It was a simple object, a garment, he says. It was just a simple garment. He not take it to worship it. He took it to keep it as a showpiece in his house. He took it to maybe stitch a garment maybe for himself. He did not take it to worship. He just took it for a decoration. But God was upset. Because God is very clear in his principle. Nothing ungodly should be kept before our eyes. Anything that is linked to paganism should not be kept before our eyes. And that's why we need to constantly check what is it that we keep before us in our houses. Let's go back to Joshua chapter 7, verse 3 now. It says, verse 3. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men. That means what they're telling Joshua is, you know, Ai is a very easy place. We can defeat them easily. We just need 2,000 or 3,000 men. That's it. We can win this battle. But do you know what happens when you go to the next verse? It says, so they went up thither of the people, about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. They fled. The people of Israel were living victorious lives. They pulled down the walls of Jericho. But here, just 3,000 men went because Ai was a small place. It was a small obstacle for them. It was a small stronghold for them. But because they did what the Lord had told them not to do, because they kept that object, Achan took that object that was not to be taken, they begin to live a defeated life. They experienced defeat, a small battle, but they were defeated. Come on. How many of us are experiencing those small issues that you should have easily overcome? That business that you should have easily created, you know, that deal that could have been clicked, or maybe that financial situation you knew, you had made the calculation, okay, this is how much I earn, this is the loan I'll take, this is the mortgage, I will make this payment, and it's going to be done easily. But then suddenly you realize, oh, it's not happening. It's not enough for me. Why is it that it's not enough? Why is it that this is a stronghold for me? Why is it that this is destroying me? Well, here, a small nation, Ai, could defeat the people of Israel. When you read the next verse, it says, and the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even unto Shebarim. That means 36 men lost their lives. It was a loss. Instead of being victorious, instead of living a life where they experienced the greatness of God, now they're living a defeated life. You know, I tell people, Christians, we who are born again, we are not called to live defeated lives. Defeat is not my portion. Loss is not my portion. My portion is victory in Jesus Christ. But when we give access to the enemy, that's when we begin to experience our life suffocated. That's when we begin to experience our life in bondage. That's when we begin to experience problems in our marriages, problems in our children, problems in our finances. Why? Because we've given access to some area in our life to the enemy. And that's why we need to be so careful what we listen to, what we keep in our house, what we watch before us. We need to filter things. We don't just go to the market and buy whatever we want. We need to be aware of what we keep in our houses. Yeah. So here now, when you go further, he says, and Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. And he and the elders of Israel and put dust upon their heads. Now Joshua, being the leader, is like, come on, why defeated, God? God, we should not be defeated. God, why this is happening? You know, sometimes the pastors, Melvin, Marita, when you come to them and you're asking them, you know, this is my problem, I want a way out. And they are like, God, this should not be happening to your people. This should not be their portion. They have to experience your healing. They have to experience your freedom. And that's the cry. That's the cry of Joshua. That's the cry of every leader, every pastor. But then the question is, what have you done in the hidden places? What have you been keeping hiding inside? What is it that you have been keeping that could be binding you? Because we cannot see you at all times, right? We don't know what's in your hidden rooms. We don't know what you've been keeping in your bedroom. And that's why we need to understand the simple principle. Filter everything that you bring to your house. Don't just take anything. Then when we go further, let's go to verse 11. Okay. Israel had sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also. And they have put it even among their own stuff. That means they have mixed it with whatever stuff they have in the house. They have mixed it. They have taken it like a normal thing to own. Not realizing that that object is destroying them. When you go further into verse, let's go to the next verse. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore except ye be destroyed, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. That means unless and until you don't be with those objects that are with you, I'm not going to move in your situation. Unless until you don't deal with that issue that you're holding on to, I'm not going to deal with that situation. You know, when my son was young, when he was 2 years old, he started having wheezing attacks, breathless. You know, we had to constantly take and put nebulizers, you know, for his breathing. Sometimes in the middle of the night, at 2 in the morning, we would get up and run to the hospitals. Why? Because he would suddenly get an attack. And it was a desperate time. It went on for nearly a year. And we were desperate, praying, God, heal him. God, heal him. And you know, being a pastor, it's so difficult to share your struggles with others. Because how can I bring others out of their struggles and I tell them my pain? You know, oh, your own son is not well and you're speaking about healing. And I was like battling with the Lord. God, this cannot be my portion. This cannot be my portion. Well, one day as we were in prayer, suddenly the Lord showed me a picture that one of the bed sheets that we were using for my son had a cartoon figure of a woman on a broomstick. I did not even realize it was gifted to us. So we had used it because it's a toy. I mean, it's a cartoon. It's just a cartoon figure. What's wrong in keeping it? So that day when the Lord showed me that picture, I checked the closet, saw the bedsheet, threw it out. After 2 months, we saw God completely restored my son. Now it's been 15 years, 16 years, he's never had an attack again. 16 years. So there are things that we don't realize. It could be binding us. There was one child, around 3 year old. And every time this child was brought for prayer services or for their religious meetings, every time, instead of saying the name Jesus, he would say, I'm the child of the devil. Three-year-old, young boy, speaking words, I'm the child of the devil. And it really troubled me when he was brought to me. Every time I would say, say Jesus, he would say Jesus, and he would keep saying, I'm the child of the devil. Oh, it really troubled me. I was wondering what needs to be done here. He's a small child. What wrong has he done? So I told the parents, I want to visit your house. So the parents were excited. Yes, always welcome. So I went to their house a week or so later. And as I entered the house, there was a bed, ancestral bed, an old bed lying in the house. Okay? And the moment I saw that bed, I saw a picture of a dead man sitting on that bed. There was a spirit that was tormenting that area, that room, that bed. And the child was sleeping on that bed. I told the parents, get rid of this bed. The parents were a little upset. Why? Because that was an ancestral bed. It was something that they treasured, something that they loved, and something of great value. I told them, if you want your child to be well, get rid of the bed. Well, after a week or so, they came and met me. And the moment they met me, the child from right at the back came running towards me with a smile. And then the next thing I said, say Jesus, and he was saying, Jesus. He was completely delivered.
Amen.
Completely delivered. So there's objects that we have at times, we may not realize it, could be blinding us from experiencing our breakthrough. That's exactly what happened for the people of Israel. Just because one man chose that beautiful garment to keep it in his house as a decoration, as something that would make his house look beautiful, the entire people of Israel experienced defeat. So there could be some things that you are holding on to in your household that could actually be binding you. And we need to learn to release it. Let go. When you go into Acts chapter 19, we see what the Lord does here. He says, Acts chapter 19, verse 18 onwards, he says, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Look at what happened next. And many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. It says, curious arts. And then it says, the word of the Lord grew mighty. Yeah. So we see the moment they did not just accept Jesus, they did not just get water baptized, they did not just believe in the Lord, the next step they did is they cleansed their house. They cleansed their house from anything and everything that was ungodly. And here it says the books, witchcraft books. Yeah. Now we know it's not only about books, it's also about the music that's in your house. It's about the books that you read, the worldly books that you read. You know, one of the trend, maybe not now, but a few years back, the trend was Harry Potter. Yeah. Right? It was a trend, everyone was doing it. Yeah. But as a Christian, can I read that? I don't know that. You need to ask the Holy Spirit. Because there are some things that can bind you, that can put you under a curse. And that's why we need to be so careful what we read. That's why we need to be so careful what we wear. Because what could be fashionable in the world could be binding you your whole life. That's why we don't follow the fashion, the trend of the world. The vocabulary of the world could be cool for them, but could bind you and me. That's why we need to learn to filter whatever the world is throwing upon us. We cannot say yes to everything that the world speaks. We need for our personal growth, for our family's welfare, for our children to grow better, we need to filter it. You know, how many of us, we've heard of those cartoon figures like Pokemon, Pokemon?
Pokemon.
Yeah? We've heard of these cartoon figures, Pokemon. We've heard of these movies like Transformers. And some of us find, what's wrong in that? It's just a movie. Yeah? You can watch it, it's up to you. But I do know one thing. If there's going to be monsters, if there's going to be, you know, the word Pokemon means pocket monsters. Yeah. So if I'm going to entertain pocket monsters as toys for my children, I cannot expect them to be godly later. There's going to be rebellion in some phase or another in their lives. If I'm going to give them Transformers, like if you watch the movie Transformers, you will know they are actually aliens that have come from out of space. Come on, these things should immediately make us feel there's something wrong. We need to be so careful what we bring to our homes. When you look into Isaiah chapter 30, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18 and 19, I don't know if I gave it to you. I don't give it right there. Sorry. Isaiah chapter 30, verses 18 and 19, if you could please. It says, therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. Now, when you turn back to God, he's saying God is going to be gracious to you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Now the next verse it says, for the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto you, that at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer. Now look at the next verse. Go to verse 22. It says, he shall defile also the covering of their graven images of silver and the ornaments of their molten images of gold. Thou shalt cast them away as menstruous cloth. Thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence, get out of this place. That means, anything that is an abomination, you need to get it out. That's what God is saying. God is saying, I will be gracious, I will be merciful, I will show my kindness, but you need to get this out. You need to get this out. And then if you look into the next verse, then shall he give the rain to thy seed. How many of you, we sow our seed and we are waiting that the seed will sprout? He said, I will give rain to thy seed. Thou shalt soak the ground with all, and bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous. In that day shall thy cattle feed in large pastures. That means God is saying, I'm going to multiply. I will be gracious. I will be merciful. But you get the abominating things, those things that devoted to destruction, you need to get them out. And then you sow that seed, I will bless it. You take your cattle to the pastures, there will be abundance of pastures. Your business will be blessed. Your coming in will be blessed. Your going out will be blessed. Your children will be blessed. God is saying, my mercies are there. But there are certain hindrances that we need to begin to get out from our life. So my question to us is, what are the things that we are holding on to? Yeah, as per this context, I don't know this country, what are the objects that are binding you? But I'll just give you a few. Now, there are things like for children, when your children's child is playing video games, or maybe even you play video games, what type of games do we play? Is it demonic? Is it violence? Is it things that aggravate the emotions? We need to be careful, because that's playing with us. If it's playing with you, that means it's going to destroy you and your household. Anything that plays with your emotions. We need to ask ourselves, are we holding on to objects like charms? You know charms? We may think, no, it's just a showpiece. Like a horseshoe, like gems, certain stones that people in the world will use as good luck. Certain graven images, like shows, you know, wooden carvings. You may have brought it as for show, but
Is it being used by the world for another purpose? We need to ask ourselves. We need to check our closets, we need to check our houses. If there is any objects that's binding us, we need to let go of it. We need to learn to let go of it. There was a man, okay, this is nice. There was a man who was working on the cruise line. Yeah, there was a man working in the cruise lines, and he was suffering from a shoulder. He couldn't lift his hands. It was troubling him. He couldn't work. In fact, so bad his shoulder had become that the management wanted to send him back home. So he called us. He called me up one day. And he said, "Brother, my shoulder's bad. They will send me back home if I don't get well. Please pray for me." So as I was about to pray for him, the Holy Spirit revealed to me that he's holding on to alcohol bottles, liquor bottles, yeah, alcohol, yeah. And so I asked him, in your room, in your cruise ship, in your room, have you been collecting bottles or have you purchased bottles of liquor? So he was like, yeah, but not for me to drink. I just bought it because I want to gift it to my friend when I come back home. I was like, no. Right now, open the bottle and empty it into the sink and throw it out. He was like, no, it's very expensive. How can I throw it out? It's not right. I've spent money on it. I said, you want to get well? Throw it out. But he listened to me. He opened the bottle, threw it out, threw the empty bottle out, and that instant, his shoulder was released. And he was completely healed. Just a small liquor bottle. He was not drinking. He brought it in to gift it to somebody else. Now, sometimes we cannot link it, right? What has that got to do with my sickness? But this is the spiritual realm. Things happen in the spiritual realm. And demons operate through objects. We need to ask ourselves. There was once a woman who had come for a meeting, and she wore a bracelet, okay, a beautiful looking bracelet that had some objects related to another religion. Okay, she did not believe in that. She was not worshipping it. She believed in Jesus. But she wore that bracelet. It was a good fashion. It was a good show. The moment we prayed, the moment we said, Holy Spirit, come, she fell down onto the floor and she started rolling all over the floor, screaming, reacting. At that point of time, we were like, how can this happen? She believes in Jesus. How can this happen to her? And the Holy Spirit told us, take the bracelet off from her hand. The moment we, took off the bracelet, she calmed down and she was completely normal. That's what happens when we hold on to objects. So I want to ask us, is there any objects that we are holding on to? Anything that we do, or, sometimes there's those chimes. I don't know when you things. Wind chimes. Yeah, wind chimes. It seems like a good showpiece, but is it so? Go into the roots. You will find out for what exactly it was used. If you see those bamboo showpieces they put on the table, it's small bamboo plants, bamboo shoots. It seems like a good showpiece. Go into the roots, check it out, and you will begin to see how it is linked to unwanted stuff that can bind you and me. I want to challenge us today. Is there anything that you are holding on to that could bind you? Is there anything that, back home in India, now they are renewing a new coin that is symbolic of some kind of a Hindu festival or a Hindu organization which has completed 300 or 400 years old, 400 years now, and it will have the symbol of one of their mutts or gods, or I'm not sure what exactly. But for me, I need to be so careful that I don't indulge in keeping that as my coin collection, because it could buy me a house. Do we need to ask ourselves, anything that could bind you, bind me, bind our family? If your child is suffering from a sickness that you don't have an answer to, maybe there's something that you need to ask yourself. Is there something in my house, or is some collectible, something that was passed on from generations to me? You know, once I went, I think in this place itself, or some, I think London City, I went to visit someone's house, and they were getting dreams in the night. Frightening dreams, every night frightening dreams. The moment I entered the house, there was that particular furniture, that particular furniture that was holding that household. Mm-hmm. And that furniture was not theirs, it was something that someone had gifted them. It was a gift. The moment they got rid of it, they saw that the dreams had ceased. But I want to ask us, are we holding on to any object that can bind us? If you're having a job crisis, could it be? I'm not saying it is. Could it be? Could it be some books that you are holding into your house? In fact, there is somebody here, there is a particular book that you've been reading. That book, in fact, has opened up the spiritual realm to you, but in the demonic realm. Somebody here has a book, a worldly book, not a Christian book, but a book that is actually speaking more about things of the world, the system of the world, that is actually binding you. And if it is you, once you go home, maybe you need to check it out. If someone else, you have got a stand on the table, some kind of a stand. It is maybe of gold or brass. Gold or brass. It is lying on your side table, you know, those chest of drawers kind of table. The height, you have that kind of height, and it's lying on your table. It is goldish or bronzish. It's color in that range. If you have an object like that, maybe you need to go and check it. Maybe tell Marita a little bit about it, or if you can connect with me, let me know. If it is not to be kept, let me know. There's someone else. I think you brought a pair of socks for your child. Socks for your child, which has some kind of a cartoon figure on it. Some kind of an animated figure. Socks. Figure is not very pleasant. I think it's something to do with those little animated figures on that sock. Kuramoshan Nalava said, somebody just stand to your feet. Kuramoshan Nalava said, is there somebody here? You've got a carved image of wood of somebody's face. A carved image of wood, a wooden image. Okay, it's just a showpiece, but it's carved with wood or metal, but it's a face. It's just a showpiece that's lying in your house. If it is you, you need to get rid of it. Kuramashandale Vasetle. Kyanamashandala Vasetle. Come on, if you have the gift of tongues, let's start praying.